Informing America's farmers and ranchers. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Thank you for joining us here today. No, I have not bought stock in Folgers Coffee quite yet. I'm thinking about it, though. happy to be back with you as I got to spend a week away. My wife and I are welcoming our new son, John William, calling him Liam. And I know you heard about that here all last week on the show. It's my good friend Mike Adams set in for me. And happy to be back with you here today as we dive into issues impacting rural America and farming and ranching. And mom and baby are doing well. Appreciate many congratulations and well wishes that I got here the last week from listeners and industry folks and friends and more. So thank you very much for that. It's truly a blessing. And with it being my first, it's, you know, I'm sure many folks know that first time you see your first child, it's an experience that you can't really explain. But everyone happy, healthy, just a little sleep deprived, but that's to be expected. Here on AOA today, we got a lot to get to on the program. I spent a week away, and we got a lot going on. We're going to talk with American Farmland Trust coming up here in segment three with Dr. Bianca Mobius-Clune, as they have a new program talking about soil health and their continued farmland sustainability mission. So we're going to talk with her coming up later in the show. We'll also talk weather with DTN's John Baranek coming up in segment two. And at the end of the program, we'll talk with Charlie Carter from Cenex and our friends at Cenex bringing you today's AOA. As a farmer, unpredictability is inevitable. Protect equipment with Cenex Premium Diesel to keep you in the field. Learn more at Cenex.com. Let's dive in and talk markets to kick things off here today on AOA. Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart, is with us. And Darren, great to have you back with us. I should ask, I haven't looked at the coffee market yet. Is now a good time for me to buy, potentially?
Yeah, let me be one of the first to offer my congrats, Jesse. And yes, coffee has come way off of its April high. But, you know, I understand. I remember your situation. Coffee, yes. Anytime, it's a good time to buy at this point.
Well, it's a good thing. I like my coffee, so just maybe an extra pot or so here and there as we get adjusted. Well, as I kind of mentioned, I spent a week away. We have a lot going on. We've had a lot happen to the markets too. I mean, plenty of reports. I know your affection for Friday's WASDE report, of course. But then think about just the weather and some of the tight planting windows. We have the weather around the world, South America. Got commitment of traders reports on Friday as well. So, I mean, set this up for us here. Where do things stand in these grain markets as we kick off the week?
Well, as we head into this last half of May, you know, your next guest, John Baranek, you know, this is the time for weather. Really, this is time when weather really moves to the forefront. Remember, these are weather derivative markets at heart. And, you know, so we see the excitement, we see this, we see that all going on. You know, the rally in wheat being tied to what's going on in Russia, supposedly moves in corn and soybeans tied to what's going on in Brazil. As you mentioned, some planting things here going on in the U.S. We're getting a lot of ground covered, but, you know, it is something that folks are talking about. To me, the numbers that really jumped out Friday had nothing to do with WASDE. Those were nonsense. But the CFTC report, to me, was fascinating. We saw in the corn market, we saw funds covered 112,000, almost 112,100 contracts of their net short futures position, and over 102,000 contracts in soybeans. And this was as of last Tuesday, and there was a lot that happened after that. So, you know, we saw this type of movement, and unlike what we'd seen in weeks past, where they were covering shorts and getting out of longs, they were buying new longs. And that was an important distinction. So it's something that we really need to keep an eye on now, because it seems like from the fund / investment community, there is a change in view of the markets. Now, fundamentally, the markets haven't changed. You know, corn is still neutral. Beans are still bullish, and wheat is still incredibly bearish. So, you know, from a real fundamental point of view, those haven't changed, but it's the fund, it's the investment thinking of these markets that is going through a little bit of a change right here. And it makes for an interesting time.
Well, and with that fund movement around, and that's, I'm glad you brought that up because I think it's such a huge point here, just this shift in sentiment by some of this managed money and funds and money into the grains again. I wonder how much producer selling have we seen into this rally, and how much is that affecting spreads and things like that, Derek?
That is a great question, Jesse, because it doesn't get talked about enough. What we saw at the end of last week was basis was starting to weaken in both corn and soybeans. Speaking as an old grain merchandiser and with an emphasis on the word old, basis is the best defense of a merchandiser against a fund-driven rally. So if you see funds and the investment side pushing a market higher, and you have plenty of supply and demand, or your supply and demand situation says you don't have to chase the market, you can let the futures market do the work to source the supplies you need to meet demand as producers sell into that rally. So you can back your basis off and, again, just let the futures market raise your price. And that seemed to be what was going on last week. So what that tells us is isn't this huge surge in demand. There isn't this big concern over supply and demand tightening. This is being driven by fund activity. And so merchandisers were backing off. They weakened corn basis. They weakened soybean basis. And it'll be interesting to watch as we make our way through May and then into the summer months if this sort of thing continues.
Well, and seasonality here too. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is kind of that typical window. We've talked about it before where these markets can continue kind of a rally towards like that late June, early July timeframe, basically July 4th, right, Darren?
Yeah, it's in that time frame. Yes, and I'm glad you brought that up because I did write a piece for Bar Chart over the weekend talking about, you know, the next seasonal plays in the three major grain markets. And yes, you know, we get into that late June timeframe, and that's when, you know, we start to see high weekly closes posted in December corn, November beans, with the wild card being the Chicago wheat market. Again, it's so fundamentally bearish, but yet that's where the strongest rallies being posted. So it's kind of on a breakaway right now. But yeah, we are entering a new timeframe here where we got to start counting weeks, kind of looking at things, and then what happens after that. I know Dees corn, after we hit that late June, early July timeframe, it just falls off a cliff as what happens, because everyone gets comfortable with the crop all of a sudden, though, seemingly at the same time. So we'll see. We'll see if it plays out this year. Remember, seasonality is a guide. It tells us if things are going as usual. It's when we get those contra-seasonal moves, that's when things get interesting.
Darren, any other market notes for us real quick here this week?
Yeah, you know, we've got our next reads on inflation, both PPI on Tuesday and CPI on Wednesday. You know, all the talking heads are saying, oh, this is going to be the next big test for U.S. stock indexes. U.S. stock indexes are in long-term uptrend, so I think they'll take a look at the numbers. But, you know, the big impact will be, what's the ripple effects going to be, if any, on U.S. FOMC decisions down the road?
Folks can learn more at DarrenNewsom.com. With that, senior market analyst at Bar Chart, Darren Newsom. Always good to have you with us here on AOA. Darren, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on again today, Jesse.
All right. Coming up next here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Long hours is the name of the game for farmers and ranchers. Cenex Premium Diesel helps to keep your trucks on the road. Learn more online at cenex.com. We're going to talk weather. How are things looking here for the week ahead? Well, we're going to dive into that with DTN meteorologist John Baranek on the way next here on AOA.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
If you miss an episode of AOA, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Agriculture of America on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
More than 200 members of Congress are standing up for AM radio listeners. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act will keep AM radio in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA. Today's show brought to you by Sedex. Every minute matters on the farm. Bulk premium diesel fuel storage can boost productivity and maximize ROI. Learn more at your local Sedex location or visit sedex.com for more information. Well, I saw a lot of pictures on social media here over the weekend. It looked like a few planting windows opened up for some folks. And, you know, the way technology is today, able to put in a lot of acres really, really quickly. And it seems like that's going to be the name of the game here, I think, for the next few days ahead, maybe the next few weeks ahead as we work through May. We've had a pretty active weather pattern here as of late. Let's get caught up on that. Joining us now, DTN meteorologist John Baranek is with us. John, thanks for being back with us here on AOA. Hope you had a great weekend.
I did. And I don't know, Jesse, maybe you were up taking care of the little one. If everyone saw the northern lights, I mean, I had seen pictures all the way down to Alabama that saw them. But, you know, also, you know, that solar disruption for some of those planters out there.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of people that were really excited to get out into the field because they found a break, but then the sun screwed them up and messed with their GPS, and they couldn't really roll out in the fields for a while there. So
that's a great point you bring up, John, because I saw a little bit of that too, and it almost makes you wonder. It's like, okay, if you don't have your GPS and auto steer and some of these newer machines, can you plant some straight lines manually, you know, depending on how all your equipment is set up.
But I know that some markers and hope for the best there.
That was a bit of a struggle for some folks, and that's I'm glad you brought that up. So maybe slow down some of those planting windows here this past weekend. But the Northern Lights, a great show, and like I mentioned, a couple days there where we could get some planting done, but we've just been in such an active weather pattern here the last couple of weeks, and it sounds like it's going to continue, John.
Yeah, we got no stoppage of systems moving through here this week or next week. We're just going to hope and pray that, you know, we get enough time between storm systems and some of the moisture is a little bit cut off. So hopefully that leads to fewer areas of just the widespread heavy rain. But I mean, Jesse, we got tons of systems moving through here. At least over the next 2 weeks. We've got one right now that, you know, yesterday and over the weekend here produced some pretty decent rain in streaks across the central and southern plains. So some areas there out in the west that really need the rain and haven't really benefited from this active pattern got some rain. So that was good to see out of that. Not everywhere, but some folks did. But that system's going to continue rolling straight eastward here over the next couple of days. And I mean, it's kind of widespread rain, light to moderate, enough to just, you know, turn your lip up and just grumble a little bit. Mm-hmm. You want to get out and can't do it. But not a lot of heavy rain out of this, at least across the Corn Belt. So I think that's some good news. Most of that stays down towards the Gulf Coast, and they've got flood warnings and watches down there, and that's where the severe weather focus is going to be for this week. But you know, it's more of those nuisance rains and the cloudy days that don't really allow you to kind of dry out your soils afterwards that are you know, not great for us. And then we get another system coming right out of the plains right after that. And then there's little disturbances, not big systems, but little disturbances that just keep pushing through for the rest of this week and weekend, and doesn't really allow anything to truly dry out. Sun's probably going to be at a premium here as we go throughout the week, and it's not ideal, I'll tell you that, Jesse, at least for a lot of us. And for those that have wetter soils there across the south or the east, it's going to be a little tougher. It's interesting though, that a lot of these disturbances are moving kind of from the Canadian prairies down. And so they don't have a ton of moisture with them. So those in the Western Corn Belt, you know, they'll see some showers, but it won't be terrible. And I think we'll still see some better windows out there. So you take Nebraska, the Dakotas, even Minnesota and maybe parts of Iowa, we're not going to be too bad, with this, and we'll be all right. But some of those wetter areas, and as the farther east we get, the better opportunity we bring in a little bit more moisture from the Gulf of Mexico a little bit. It's not completely shut down, but it's definitely lower than what we've seen out of some of these previous storms in previous weeks. So, man, just a lot of fingers crossed, a lot of hands together for prayers and hoping we can get this done in a timely manner, because Mother Nature's not really giving us a whole lot of breaks in between some of these storms.
No, and it's a bit of a double-edged sword, I think, because to one respect, we've gotten a lot of moisture that's improved a lot of drought conditions in parts of the country. I think especially Iowa, that drought monitor map has shrunk quite a bit. But at the same time, I know a lot of farmers probably out there thinking, okay, hey, give us a window, get this crop in the ground, and then give us some of these timely rains to help bring that crop along for early emergence, things like that. It's like, hey, just give us a week or so here, and then you can turn the faucet back on, so to speak, right, John?
Yeah, and you know, it's always that double-edged sword in the spring, because you know, it doesn't get awfully wet during the winter most years, so we're kind of hoping for some good spring rainfall. It's just it's all that timing, right? You need that seed in the ground first before that really starts up, and it's been hard to do for a lot of areas. Now, we have been finding windows, and progress is still being made. I'll be real interested to see what happens on the crop progress report that comes out this afternoon. If there were some breaks in there to see some of that planting really kick back up a little bit, but we did see a significant drop off on that report last week from the pace we were setting before that. So we'll have to see what trend kind of pops up. Do we stay in that kind of slower trend, which is probably the case, or were enough folks able to get out there, maybe risk it a little bit and get out there and get it done and able to do it anyway. So I don't know. I'll be real interested to see what that report has to say this afternoon.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that for sure. We're talking with DTM meteorologist John Baranek here on AOA. John, let's turn our attention first to South America. Southern Brazil, flooding continues in Rio Grande do Sul. Just immense rain affecting that last bit of soybean crop that they haven't harvested. So this continues to be a situation that bears watching, that and then dryness in Safrina corn areas. What's the latest you're seeing South America right now, John?
Yeah, things really haven't changed from last week. I know you weren't here on the program, Jesse, but it hasn't really changed from what we had last week. That front that had been in southern Brazil, caused all the flooding, went away, came back, produced more flooding over the weekend. I saw another 6 to 10 inches of rain down there in portions of that state that got flooded out, Rio Grande do Sul, like you mentioned. that front kind of lingers today, moves a little farther north, which gets into some of those southern Safrina corn areas that could really benefit from at least any rainfall would benefit that. But they only get a day of it, and it's pretty light, but it's something. But then that front comes right back in on Thursday and goes right over Rio Grande do Sul and floods them out again through Friday. That front too doesn't linger as long as it did last week or weekend. It does get into those southern Safrina corn areas this weekend. So probably gets a little bit of rainfall in there. But when you look at central Brazil, they're going dry, and they've been dry for the last month, and really no help on the horizon for them. That's typical of this time of year. They expect that, but you know, they didn't have a ton of subsoil moisture to kind of lead them through that. So it's really touch and go for them. You know, we don't see it right now because they had plenty of rain early enough on in the season, where things greened up pretty good and it looks pretty good from satellite and everything, but you know, this is just going to be a slow trickle downward through the end of the season. And, you know, weather's still important for about another 3 or 4 weeks before that crop really starts to reach full maturity. So they're going to go through some rough weather here, and not just the rainfall, but I mean, because it hasn't been raining, I mean, temperatures have been in the 90s every day. So it's super hot, just wrecks everything up there.
Yeah. Real quick, John, we got about a minute here. Southern Russia, continue to hear a lot of chatter about that growing region for wheat. Markets reflecting that a bit here as we start the week as well. Any quick notes for us on Russia?
Yeah, they've had some cold air there, Jesse, the last couple of weeks, and their far northern growing areas for wheat have had issues with frost. It hasn't gotten into the main sections there farther south, but it's been close. So there might be a couple of areas in there that show some damage that maybe the temperature sensors really weren't picking up on. So that's going to be a big concern out there for them, was those frosts. But also, man, it's been real dry this spring. They did luck out with a little bit of rainfall in far southwestern Russia this weekend. It's just kind of some streaks, but it was kind of moderate streaks. But what we see here is a storm system really developing in the Black Sea, and that's going to bring at least some rainfall into them for their wheat. So we've seen markets really react positively to that wheat, but that might be on the downtrend here coming up soon.
All right. Folks can learn more at dtnpf.com. John Baranek, DTN meteorologist. John, good to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us.
Yep, and good luck with the new one.
I appreciate it. Going to be drinking a lot of coffee. John Baranek with DTN. We'll be back with more AOA brought to you by SEDEX. All the way right after this.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
You're listening to AOA. I'm Jody Heemstra with this check at agricultural market information from the American Ag Network. As the trade awaits the data-heavy May WASDE report, it's expected to show minor changes in old crop corn stocks and the first look at the 2024-25 balance sheets. In the U.S., we'll see a five-day window for planting activity in the central and northern corn belt before rain returns. However, in South America, weather troubles continue to compromise corn crops. The major Safrina corn producing regions of central and northern Brazil continue to suffer from hot and mostly dry conditions, while southern Brazil will continue to see heavy rain and maybe more flooding. In Argentina, the stunt disease precipitated by a leafhopper infestation has already led to crop estimate reductions there. USDA reported a new sale of 5.2 million bushels of corn to Mexico on Thursday, with 2.5 million bushels for old crop and the balance for new. However, in the new crop balance sheet, a lofty yield estimate, even with lower acres, is likely to lead to an ending stocks number of over 2.2 billion bushels. Soybeans, a window of planting opportunity, is available for the next 5 days before a return to heavy rain. In Brazil, southern areas will get more rain and possibly flooding, which, according to analysts, may have already suffered the loss of as much as 1.5 to 2 million metric tons of soybeans, along with having quality issues. U.S. soybean export sales and shipments continue to lag USDA estimates. Sales commitments currently at 1.556 billion bushels. They're down 307 million bushels from last year at this time. It's likely we could see a modest cut in exports and a bump in old crop ending stocks for soybeans. In wheat, Russia continued to be aggressive, with old crop wheat having captured the lion's share of Egypt's 420,000 metric ton purchase this week. That's a check at agricultural market information from the American Ag Network. I'm Jody Heemstra.
A promise is potent, born of intention, fueled by commitment. It's seeing things through, always showing up. And we know a thing or two about promises here at Susan G. Komen. Over 40 years ago, we locked arms with you toward one vision, a world without breast cancer. By investing in life-saving research and standing up for patient rights, we are shifting the system so all people everywhere get the care they deserve. Because if you've just been diagnosed and don't know where to turn, we've got you. If you can't afford the treatment you need, we've got you. And if you are driven to raise money to honor the best friend you've just lost, we have a place for you here. Because of you, we're supporting those who need help today while tirelessly searching for tomorrow's cures. Ending breast cancer needs all of us. Visit Komen.org and be a part of the Susan G. Komen community today.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. Thanks for sticking with us here on the program today. Brought to you by our friends at Cenex. And selecting the right grease is critical. Cenex Premium Greases help you achieve superior strength and performance in your farm equipment and your fleets and more. Trust your local experts at Cenex to find the right premium grease for you, or visit Cenex.com for more information. It's that easy. Go to your nearest Cenex location, talk to your local experts, or if you don't know where that nearest Cenex location is, you can find it online. Just go to Cenex.com. And joining us now here on the program, very pleased to have a conversation with American Farmland Trust. And joining us now for that conversation with AFT, their Climate Initiative Director, Bianca Mobius-Kloon, is with us here. And Bianca, thanks so much for joining us here. Dr. Mobius-Kloon, I should say. Thank you for being with us on the program today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
I want to talk about American Farmland Trust has rolled out their advanced soil health training, and this is something that very interesting, caught my attention in the news wires, and so I'm glad we could have a conversation about it here today. Can you give us some background on what AFT's advanced soil health training is all about?
Yeah, absolutely. We're really excited to offer it. It is about training influencers, so we're really looking to give farmers out there who are looking to adopt soil health practices, soil health management systems, we're looking to give them a network in their local area. We're looking to give them connections to a local mentor or more. And so this advanced soil health training is for farmers and ag service providers who are excited, who are engaged, who are already doing some of these practices, who both want to learn yet a bit more and connect with a cohort of other farmers who are in that space, other ag service providers who are in that space, and who also really have a passion for getting the word out and working with other farmers who have not yet implemented these practices to help them successfully implement soil health management systems, soil health management practices. So really exciting program. I'm actually bringing my colleagues. We've all worked together for over a decade. Brandon Smith and Dennis Chessman and Barry Fisher are the expert trainers that we have for this advanced soil health training. We all work together as part of the Soil Health Division at NRCS. And now we are offering this training that is many, many years in development for a lot of the content. It has been very well integrated with NRCS, and it's really core content, but taking it to the next level, really helping those producers and ag service providers understand both how to implement these practices, but also how to talk with folks about them, how to engage them in making that transition in a way that is safe, that is low risk, that gives them the cohort that people often need to feel like they can really take something like this on, because it's a really big shift for a lot of operations to change to these practices.
Well, and of course, with this training and the work you guys are doing at American Farmland Trust, it's all about soil health and taking care of our land and continuing good stewardship of the land by understanding and implementing a lot of these practices to better advance soil health, right?
Right, absolutely. Yeah, and it's so exciting to be able to bring these groups together, because a lot of what's missing right now is a lot of farmers are hearing about soil health. They're excited about the idea of it, but how to actually get started and make that successful is tricky, right? And a lot of farmers don't have access to somebody who will really take the time to walk their fields with them, take the time to maybe take a look at their machinery and how to adapt it appropriately, to connect them with NRCS resources, to connect them with a lot of these new partnerships for climate smart commodities. I should say this program is attached to one of our multiple climate smart commodities projects that we lead and are working on at AFT. This particular project is led by TruTerra, which is the sustainability arm of Land O'Lakes. And we are a co-lead and partner on that project. And we're leading the advanced soil health training effort. And we're really looking to integrate that out into the landscape of ag service providers and farmers working together to make this what we like to call a new conventional agriculture. We are really hoping to change the face of agriculture at large. And what that's going to take is farmers having other farmers they can talk to, farmers having ag service providers who really understand soil health management systems and who can really work with them on adjusting the whole system to make it work for resilience, for reducing risk, for increasing yields or maintaining yields as we cut back on some of the inputs that may not be necessary, change the inputs to make it a more sustainable system. So a lot of really exciting opportunities for farm country out there, I would say.
Is it, to your point about understanding some of these different practices and the climate smart programs and more, would you say that's maybe the biggest challenge for right now is just for folks understanding and gaining some of this knowledge as we look to make some of these shifts in agriculture? Is that the biggest challenge right now anyway?
You know, that's a really good question. I think there's starting to be a lot of basic understanding of what the practices are and that there's a lot of farmers having success with them. I think there are social, economic, and technical hurdles that are part of this, right? So we have the technical hurdles of how do I even get started if somebody's interested? But there's also the social hurdles of if your dad and your grandpa and everybody down your line and your neighbor and everybody in your network is doing agriculture the way that we've done it for so long, it can be difficult to totally change what you're doing and not feel like you have the social support. And so part of what we're trying to get at here is to help people form a peer group in which they can explore these practices. They can safely try to test some of them out on maybe a backfield to start with in the first year and gain success at it and share that with their neighbors. I often liken it to the kind of transition that we went through, say, 20 years ago. And 20 years ago, I didn't have a cell phone. I was adamantly opposed. A lot of people didn't have cell phones. And today, everybody's walking around with a cell phone. And this is a little bit that for agriculture, right? I think we're in this transition phase where we're about to really take off. We've got a lot of innovators that have done it successfully. We're starting to get the early adopters really excited about adopting cover crops and no-till and potentially even biochar and having better crop rotations and integrating grazing and all these kinds of things. but we need to get to the middle adopters. And I think that part of how we do that is by building these peer networks. Part of how we do that is by helping people understand what the return on investment could be down the line when they adopt these practices. And AFT does a lot of really great work with soil health economic case studies, and we're building a soil health economic predictive calculator as well to make that available to farmers. And then there's the technical side of how do you actually put the practices on the ground. So there's a lot of interlocking barriers to adoption, and we're kind of trying to holistically address them through what the work that we do at AFT and integrating that with our various partners who work in that space, so that it's a lot of us all moving it forward. It can't just be one organization. We're really looking to do it broadly within the system, the agricultural community, with everybody at the table.
Well, this has been a great conversation. I know folks can learn more about American Farmland Trust and the Advanced Soil Health Training Program online, farmland.org. I know is a great place to start. Bianca, before we let you go, anything final you would want to share, reiterate about the work you guys are doing when it comes to soil health here before we run out of time today?
Yes, absolutely. I would love to, first, for all of those listening out there, if you're interested in this program, we encourage you to find the Advanced Soil Health Training website at AFT. And we have a training happening in West Lafayette, Indiana. The first of four sessions will be this July. And we have another session that's going to get going July 30th in Raleigh, North Carolina, the first of four sessions. And we've got more of these trainings coming. So we really want you to apply. So please go to our website. And then more broadly, AFT, we're really looking to build, to catalyze a new conventional agriculture. We're really excited to work with partners, with farmers at large, and to really make a difference holistically in the system, where we're looking at promoting sound farming practices, but also protecting land, and also giving our next generation of farmers a viable agriculture, making sure that that agriculture is diverse, that the people engaged in agriculture are diverse. So a lot of exciting work, and we really work kitchen tables all the way to the halls of Congress. So we love being in that interconnection space and bridging across all these different efforts to help make them all more viable. So really, thank you for taking the time to talk with me today and for having really great questions. And I hope everybody out there comes and looks us up.
Well, thank you for taking the time as well. I know things have been busy. And with that, we do appreciate American Farmland Trust Climate Initiative Director, Dr. Bianca Mobius-Kloon. And Bianca, thank you for being with us here today. Really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Jesse.
And once again, appreciate the time with Dr. Mobius-Kloon here today on AOA from American Farmland Trust and their soil health mission and more. And again, more details about their mission, you can find it online. Just go to farmland.org/ASHT. Again, that is ASHT. That stands for Advanced Soil Health Training, the name of the program. So again, farmland.org/ASHT for more information about that soil health training and the courses and more that are going to be coming up here, and learn more information from American Farmland Trust. Really interesting stuff to think about as we continue the conversation surrounding soil health and much more. All right, coming up next here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. As a farmer, unpredictability is inevitable. Protect equipment with Cenex Premium Diesel to keep you in the field. Learn more at your nearest Cenex location or visit Cenex.com for details. We will talk with Charlie Carter from CHS and Cenex on the way right after the break.
Hi, I'm Jenny Garth. I've loved and cared for rescue animals since I was a little girl growing up on a farm in Illinois. My pets have always been some of the most important members of my family. My friends at American Humane have been helping animals for over 140 years. Adopting an animal in need can help save a life and add a new member to your family. Since 1981, American Humane has celebrated Adopt a Dog Month each October in an effort to help the estimated 3 to 4 million animals waiting in shelters every year to get the loving forever home that they deserve. I urge you to consider fostering or adopting a shelter pet and to support the noble mission of American Humane. Together, we can make a significant difference in the lives of these loving creatures. For more information, please check out AmericanHumane.org.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we discuss how cooperatives support farmers and ranchers and build strong communities. Each week, we'll chat with voices from throughout the cooperative system. From global market access to local expertise, we'll explore how co-op ownership means you own a world of opportunities. Tune in on Tuesdays or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk. When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
The landscape of media has changed, and people are more skeptical than ever about where they get their news and information. While major news outlets show decreasing credibility, your local farm radio station still shows strong marks. In a recent survey, farmers rated information from their farm broadcasters as almost twice as reliable as major news outlets. Farm radio continues to be transparent, honest, and trustworthy. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by our friends at Cenex. As a farmer, unpredictability is inevitable. Protect equipment with Cenex Premium Diesel to keep you in the field. Learn more at your nearest Cenex location or visit Cenex.com for more details. Well, joining us now on the program, like many farmers, you probably give your equipment a tune-up before planting season every spring. Well, keeping up your equipment is certainly important, but your operation works as a system. To truly get it in top form, it's important to start with preventative maintenance at the source, your bulk fuel tank. Charlie Carter, product quality and additives manager at CHS, is here to talk about the steps farmers can take to ensure their fuel tanks are in the best condition for spring. Charlie, thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, Jesse, thanks for having me.
Well, why is spring a critical time for fuel tank maintenance, Charlie?
Yeah, absolutely. Good question. So farmers are getting back in the field this time of year after a nice long winter. But in the spring, we'll see temperature fluctuations that can come and really cause condensation inside of your fuel tank. With those cool nights and warm days, you might start to notice a frost layer on the outside of your tank that might melt away by the end of the afternoon. That same thing is happening inside your tank, meaning water is starting to infiltrate your fuel. So when water gets inside your tank, there's the potential for microbes to form, which are living organisms that can eat at your fuel and can grow over time. If those make their way into your equipment, this microbial growth can plug fuel injectors and damage other parts of your engine as well. Even if microbes haven't formed yet, the water alone can start to plug filters and cause internal damage to the fuel-related components of your equipment.
Well, what are some steps farmers should take to combat contaminants in their fuel?
So first, make sure the fuel you're purchasing is a high-quality premium diesel fuel such as Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster or Cenex Roadmaster XL. Also, remain aware of the quality of your fuel once it has entered your storage tank, especially if that fuel was mixed with an older fuel or your fuel has been in the storage tank for an extended period of time. The only way to really know if you have a problem inside your tank before it gets in and affects your equipment is to take a closer look by having a professional take a fuel sample. Also, there may come a time where you need to clean your fuel tank. It's imperative to clean your tank to remove any water, but also to remove dirt and debris that may have formed. Dirt and debris are harmful to your machinery because if these contaminants get into your equipment system, you can run into issues, including poor engine performance and engine failure. As a result, you may be faced with unexpected downtime and costly repairs.
Well, what can farmers do to combat contaminants in their fuel tank?
You can protect your fuel tank and equipment from water and dirt contamination by using a premium diesel fuel, as mentioned before. Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster premium diesel fuel can help your fuel stay contaminant-free with its terminally injected enhanced additive package. The Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster specifically fights against the harmful effects of water with its two-phase total water management system. The first phase separates the gross majority of the water from the fuel, allowing it to settle quickly at the bottom of the tank for easy drainage. Then any remaining negligible water is entrained, allowing for safe passage through the combustion chamber. There's also an advanced aggressive detergency package that, in comparison to the previous formula, is 40% more effective at breaking down harmful engine deposits and 2.5 times more effective in cleaning up and removing injector deposits.
Well, where can people go to learn more?
So your local Cenex dealer is your partner and can help you find the best diesel fuel products for your farm. Also, visit Cenex.com to learn more about Cenex premium diesel products, fuel tank maintenance, and ways to manage diesel fuel contamination.
Well, with that, we've been talking with Charlie Carter, product quality and additives manager at CHS. Charlie, thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jesse.
And once again, Charlie Carter there with Cenex joining us here today on AOA. Let's look at a couple news notes here before we wrap it up today. In 2023, the U.S. became a net food importer for the first time, which the Midwest Food Products Association says isn't a good thing. The MFPA is a trade association that advocates for food processing companies and affiliated industries in Illinois, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. Jason Collada, president of the Midwest Food Products Association, says the imbalance began due in part to a growing emphasis placed on fresh fruits and vegetables.
Fresh fruits and vegetables especially have been imported a lot more as fresh has been promoted and seen as a healthier option, even though nutritionally it's equivalent, whether fresh, frozen, or canned. We've seen that track continue into frozen, and now we're seeing it in canned as well, where there's more imports coming into the country really since the pandemic.
Collada talks about why the U.S. has become a net food importer.
A big reason with canned is specific to tariffs. So if you recall, President Trump had imposed tariffs on steel in 2018, And President Biden has essentially maintained the same policy as his predecessor. What that's meant for canned food, we use tin plate steel to produce the food cans. It's actually most of the tin plate in the nation goes into food cans. We have really struggled with the price of our product because we had to import tin plate steel previously. The domestic industry does not produce enough to meet our national demand for this for food packaging. And the tariffs have just really harmed the industry by driving our prices up.
And he says the high price of tin plate steel is making life difficult for food processors like the MFPA.
Today, if you go in the grocery store, you grab a can off the shelf, about 40% of the price of that can is just the steel. So it's actually more than the crop to grow and put the sweet corn in the can. It's more than the labor to get into the can. And so that's a real inhibition for our industry. Because canned is a low-margin, high-volume product, just pennies differences on product can result in the loss of contracts.
That means foreign imported products have been able to underbid American food products because American companies pay a tariff on their steel.
It's a difficult issue to resolve. So we've asked for an exemption specific for tin plate from the tariffs. Tin plate is about 2% of all U.S. steel consumption. It's not even a large segment. And here, as it deals with food security, we really thought we'd be able to make more headway. And regardless of the administrations, we've really been challenged to do so.
And once again, Jason Colada there with the Midwest Food Processors Association. We're out of time on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. After long days in the field, equipment is subject to wear. Cenex premium lubricants help keep equipment protected. Learn more at Cenex.com. On the next AOA, we're going to learn more about the U.S. Department of Labor's finalized farm worker protection rule with Jose Javier Rodriguez, markets with Jeff French from Ag Hedgers, and much more coming up on the next AOA. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you and yours a great rest of your day.
And we're back looking at another lopsided matchup, Jim. Today we have a combine taking on a train.
Yeah, that heavy train is about 1,000 times heavier than the combine. No competition there.
Right, especially given that it'll take at least a mile to stop that train.
That's 18 football fields.
It's no contest. Every day people are injured or killed trying to beat a train at rail crossings. See tracks, think train.
This message brought to you by Operation Lifesaver.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
A blinding eye disease attempted to force me away from doing what I was born to do.
But it cannot stop me. I have the tools.
I will keep moving forward.
Pushing past the limits of this disability.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Loss of sight won't blind our vision. Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.